surely, each and every one of us will endeavor to live our lives in such a way as to dwell in that promised land of Almighty God. The promised land. Tonight, at the evening service, we're going to be speaking on the subject, keep your eye on the ball. And that is not what the Cowboys did last night. But we hope that you will be here tonight at 6 o'clock as we discuss that subject, keep your eye on the ball. Now, I know perhaps maybe the lesson this morning might seem a little bit strange to you, but it is something that I feel like perhaps could be beneficial to all of us. And that is a lesson from the chicken pen. How many of you in here, just out of curiosity, raised chickens when you were younger? Anybody? My goodness, we got all kind of chicken farmers here. But anyway, you probably had a baby chick, whether you raised them or not. And you know, when I think about the fact that God created all things, one of the things that God created was the chicken, the fowls. And in the book of Matthew, the 23rd chapter in verse 37, the word says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered you, my children, together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, but you would not. Do you know the Bible has many, many references to chickens, or to hens, or to the fowls of the air? Many, many of them. If you were to look in the Old Testament, and even in the New, we remember that it was when Peter heard the cock crow that he had denied his Lord, and Jesus had prophesied of such. There are several things to learn about the chicken pen or from fowls themselves. One of them being that the Lord God cares about you and he cares about me. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, the Bible says that we are to cast our cares on him, for he careth for you. Did you know that the Lord's care is compared to a mother chicken or a mother hen for her young chicks? And when they are in danger, that mother chicken would look out for them. You know, one thing I have observed, and of course I grew up on a farm, and we raised chickens just like maybe some of you did as well. And anyway, chickens are not very smart. How many of you know that? Did you realize that? Some will go and hide under their mother's wing, and some will not. Now, he says the same thing is true with human beings. Many of us will go and hide under the wings of the Almighty, and others will not do that. In the book of Psalms 36 and verse 7, the Bible says, How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore, the children of men. God is a good God, and some people put their confidence in God, and they will recognize that God will take them and protect them and watch over them as we cast our cares on him. But did you know that chickens are really strange birds, as we often say? A chicken is a farm bird that is raised primarily for eggs and meat. Now, those of you that have known me for a long time know that I like fried chicken. I really do. It is one of my favorite foods. And someone says that the reason for preachers being so fond of fried chicken is because of what happened to Peter. And when the cock crew that, you know, preachers have been trying to do away with those birds for the rest of their time. Well, another individual said that preachers are such famous chicken eaters that it is said that a preacher's belt is nothing more than a leather fence around a chicken graveyard. I don't know whether you agree with that or not. I don't know. But there are a lot of lessons to be learned from chickens. And let me share these with you this morning. Number one, did you know that chickens are formed differently? They are. you and I are different as well. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, the Bible says, "For who maketh thee to differ from one another?" God made you different, and he makes me different. You know, a lot of people look at me, it may be the way I wear my hair, the clothes I wear, whatever, and they laugh at me because I'm different. But you know what? I laugh at you because you're all the same. But God made us different. He really did. Every one of us are different. You know that chickens are the same thing. We talk about the DNA of human beings not being the same. It is true. It is true of farm animals as well. There are many different types of chickens. There really are. Over 50 different standard breeds of chickens in our world. There are the Rhode Island Reds, the White Plymouth Rocks. We could go on. The Barred Plymouth Rocks, the Silver Gray Dorkings, the White Leghorns, the Bannies, and many, many more if you were to stop and think. Now, one analogy I want to make here is this. Do you know that there are different types of sinners in the world? There are tall sinners, there are short sinners, there are skinny sinners, there are fat sinners, there are rich sinners, there are poor sinners, there are red, brown, yellow, black, and white sinners as well. And in the book of Romans, the 3rd chapter in verse 23, the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Now, there are different types, but the same nature. One thing that you will notice about chickens is that they are generally the same in nature. Human beings are the same way. We all have that same nature. We have certain likes and dislikes, and in a real way, we are much alike. But we are sinners as well. For the book of 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8 says that if we say that we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So chickens are formed differently. But there's another thing you need to learn from the barnyard or from the chicken pen, and that is that chickens follow the crowd. Have you ever watched a bunch of chickens out in a yard or maybe out in a chicken pen somewhere? You know what they do? I mean, you know, they just follow one another. And in the book of Matthew, the 15th chapter and verse 14, the Bible says, Jesus speaking, that if the blind lead the blind, they will both fall into the ditch. A chicken follows motion. I don't know if you've observed that either. But if a chicken sees another chicken run across the yard, he will immediately follow them. Now, when I was a young boy growing up and we had chickens on the farm, I saw it every day. I mean, a chicken could be distracted and it starts running across the yard. It isn't long until all of them take in right behind that one chicken. They think that that chicken must know something that they don't know. Well, believe it or not, human beings are much like that. That's why human beings followed people like Joseph Smith. That's why they followed people like Brigham Young or maybe Sun Yat-moon or perhaps maybe even David Koresh or Vernon Howell as we knew him. Some people will follow anybody that is moving. They are drawn to moving objects. Chickens follow the majority as well. If a chicken sees a bunch of chickens go in a certain direction, as I said, they just take off right behind him. They will follow the crowd. But aren't human beings in the same way? Don't we do the same thing? You stop and think about this. Think about all the advertisements that you see on television. Now just stop and think about this. And no offense, Jim, but did you know that do you see all these television commercials that say most dentists prefer? Now, I don't know what you prefer, but anyway, they say most dentists prefer certain things, certain toothpaste. And the reason they do that is that they want everybody to go out and buy that same one because most dentists prefer it. Think about it. Doctors recommend. Most doctors recommend. They don't just say doctors recommend. They say most doctors recommend because they know that we are creatures of habit and that we generally will follow the crowd. Most people are using certain products, we say. Well, Christians should not follow the world, but they ought to follow the book, not the crowd. And in 1 Peter 2, in verse 21, the Bible says that Christ left us an example that we should follow in his steps, not in the ways of the world. And then in the book of Matthew 7, verse 13, Christ said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for straight is the gate," he says, "straight is the gate, broad is the way, and the gate that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. For straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it." What he is saying is, don't follow down that broad path that leads to destruction, and that is where the crowd is going. But he says there are few that travel that narrow way and through that gate to leads to life eternal. And in 3 John verse 11, the Bible says, "Follow not that which is evil and corrupt." In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 15, the Bible says, "But we are to follow that which is good." But you know, many in the world today choose to follow the evil, the corrupt, and they live their lifestyles in such a fashion as to pattern it after the world. But there's another thing you need to know about chickens. Did you know that chickens have a way of fighting one another over menial little things? They do. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 6 and verse 7, the Bible says, "All that labor, or all the labor of man, is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled or satisfied." Isn't that the way we are? We're just really never satisfied in life. We aren't. We fight. We quarrel. Chickens will fight over food. Do you know that if a grasshopper accidentally hops into a chicken pen, you will notice that they are liable, listen, chickens are liable to kill one another over that little grasshopper. They are. They will jerk that grasshopper right out of another chicken's mouth, believe it or not. And they will jump up and they will start pecking each other on the head. They will do it, and sometimes they even peck them in the eye. We had them do that when I was a kid. And sometimes they will peck them until they draw blood. And when they see that blood, they just keep pecking away until that chicken dies. They fight over shiny things. I remember as a kid one time, someone told me that, and I didn't really believe it. But I tossed a 50-cent piece into a chicken pen one time, believe it or not, and those chickens went wild. I mean, every one of them, I mean, they just started looking at that thing and they kept trying to get it. You can throw something into the pen and they will fight all over it until they recognize that it isn't edible. But if one wants it, they all want it. They can walk around it all day and no one wants it. None of the chickens will go for it. But if one chicken went for it, I can assure you that all the others will be right there going for it as well. Isn't that the way we are in the world? Isn't it? It is. And in the book of 1 John chapter 2 and 15, the Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life." People fight over food too. They do. You watch people when they go to a restaurant. Now, you just observe, because some of you are going out to eat today. You just watch people, how sometimes they try to break in line, and they try to do it so subtly. If, you know, they want to get something, they want to make sure they get it before somebody else gets it. Sometimes it's awful the way that people carry on in the woods when more than one person has shot a deer. David, you know about that. You've seen people do that, haven't you? Maybe if two people shot at a deer and they argue over who shot that deer and who gets that deer, and they do it all the time. Well, people fuss and fight over trivial and mundane things just like chickens do. And people fight over shiny things too, do they not? Stop and think about it. People fight over money, don't they? Just like that 50-cent piece thrown into that chicken pen. People will fight over money. And that's why the book of 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." And it is. It is. One thing I have noticed also, number four, is that chickens, and it is true, chickens frighten very quickly and very easily. In the book of Proverbs 28 and 1, the Bible says, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth." Now get that picture. The wicked are running and they are fleeing when no one is chasing after them. How many of you know that chickens can run fast? Y'all know that? I read a story the other day about a guy named Juan. Anyway, he was driving down a country lane in his pickup when suddenly a chicken darted out right in front of him. And he slammed on his brakes like most people would do, but realized that the chicken was speeding off down the road about 30 miles an hour. Intrigued, he tried to follow the bird with his truck. But he couldn't catch up to the accelerating chicken. Seeing it turn into a small farm, Juan followed it. To his astonishment, he realized that the chicken had three legs. Looking around the small farm, he noticed that all of the chickens on that farm had three legs. The farmer came out of his house, and Juan said, "My goodness," he said, "three-legged chickens." He said, "That is astonishing." He said, "I've never seen anything like it in all of my life." The farmer replied, "Yep," said, "I breed them that way because I love drumsticks." Well, Juan was curious, and he says, "Well, how does a three-legged chicken taste?" Farmer said, "I don't know, hadn't been able to catch one." Chickens move pretty fast and pretty quickly, and they do that because when they are frightened, they flee. Well, people do that as well. You know, the word chicken means coward. Do you know that? Sometimes when people call someone a coward, they don't call them a coward, they call them a what? A chicken. A chicken. And in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says that God hath not, as human beings, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and a sound mind. You look up the word chicken in the dictionary. It says a coward. One definition is a coward. One thing you need to learn also is that chickens are afraid of other chickens. They will run from each other. Some Christians are afraid of one another. That's why they never tell anybody about the Lord. Sometimes we're so afraid of what they might say. Chickens are afraid of challenges, much like human beings. You ever stop to think about it? Most chickens will never, ever try to fly over a fence. At least our chickens didn't. I don't know, maybe yours did. But we had them in a pen. We just kept the open on the top. But we knew they'd never fly over. We just knew they wouldn't do that. And if they did, then we would clip their wings with scissors if that were to happen. But flying over the fence was too big a challenge for them. Do you know that a lot of Christians are just like those chickens? God places a lot of challenges before us every day. Stop and think about it. But a lot of people are unwilling to meet those challenges. The challenge of even coming to worship. Meeting with the saints of God, the Hebrews 10 and verse 25, and putting God first in their life, Matthew 6 and verse 33. Sometimes they're unwilling to face the challenge to be baptized in water because Christ taught it, but they're unwilling to accept that challenge. They are unwilling to give in the way that God has prospered them. They don't want to meet that challenge. Sometimes they're unwilling to meet the challenge of giving up all those bad habits. And if you have bad habits here, don't raise your hand on that one. I know you do. We all have bad habits, but you know what? We don't want to accept that challenge to get rid of the bad habits. But there's another thing you need to know about chickens, number five. And that is chickens find things in the dirt. Have you ever observed that most chickens go around with their head down, digging in the dirt? In Proverbs 16 and verse 27, the Bible says that an ungodly man diggeth up the dirt, or he digs up evil. Chickens are always looking in the dirt. They're always scratching around in the dirt. They're looking for some kind of tasty morsel, maybe to satisfy their hunger. They may find an unfortunate grub worm or a roach or whatever to satisfy their hunger. And if they do, they have a small feast on him until some of the other chickens come and try to take it away. Well, people are like chickens in that respect. They are. They love dirt. Have you ever noticed that? You stop and think even about the news media. What do you hear on the news media? You hear all the bad things that are going on in the world? Let me tell you about a good thing that went on yesterday up in Washington, D.C. Did you see Glenn Beck up in Washington, D.C. yesterday? Did you see where 500,000 gathered there that said, hey, we need to call America back to God? Hey, folks, that's a good thing. But many of the news medias who are so biased and liberal said there probably were 1,000 there. Why don't you multiply that by 500? But a lot of people are trying to dig up dirt in the world, just like chickens do. Someone said sometimes Christians are just like a bunch of old hens. Just scratching around, trying to find something on somebody. The book of 1 Peter 4 and verse 15, Peter says, may none of you suffer as a busybody. You know, there are a lot of busybodies in the world. And you know what? Busybodies are just like chickens, aren't they? They try to dig up evil, corruption. And once they find some gossip about some unfortunate soul, they want a piece of it. You ever notice that? And they will stretch it all out of proportion. They will embellish it. And they will fight over it. And they will fight over who told it first. You ever notice? Have you ever heard people say, now don't tell this. You know the reason they do that? Because they won't tell it first. They fight over who knew it first, who told it first, over who told the truth and who didn't, just like a bunch of old hens. But then there's another thing you need to know, number 6, and that is chickens are helpless against their predators. In the book of 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Isn't that the very nature of the devil? I mean, he's looking, he's searching for you, he's watching for you to catch you in a most vulnerable moment where he can launch his attack at your life. Did you know that one dog can get into a pen of chickens and kill them? Now I'm going to tell you something. I may have told some of you this story several years ago. I don't know. But when I was growing up, the Methodist preacher lived on one side of us, and the Baptist preacher lived on the other side over here. And here we are, right over here. The Baptist preacher had a dog that was always chasing our chickens. My brother Johnny and I decided that we were going to take care of that dog. One day, Herman Hendricks, who was the Baptist preacher, had left his house. And his dog had gotten into our chicken pen. Well, we decided that we would fix Herman. Better yet, we would fix his dog. And so what happened after Herman left, we went and got that dog. We had seen a skunk go up in this the pipe that goes under your driveway. We had seen a skunk go up in there, and we went and got Herman's dog. And we just sent Herman's dog right up in there with that skunk. And that skunk, listen, that dog was howling and barking. We had a fishing pole, and we just kept gouging that dog up in there, doing everything in the world we could. We're going to teach him a lesson. Oh, he was howling and carrying on. We finally let him out. And you know what? That dog never chased chickens anymore. Now, I do want you to know that I repented sometime after that. A dog can kill a bunch of chickens if he gets loose in a chicken pen. It can happen. A raccoon can get into a chicken pen, and he'll just go in and he'll take one chicken very methodically. He'll take one chicken tonight. He'll come back tomorrow night, he'll get another chicken, he'll come back the next night, and he does it so unassumingly that all the other chickens never really notice. And he kills them off one at a time. And I'm going to tell you something. That is what the devil does to us. One at a time. He doesn't go for the whole mass. Just one at a time. But then last of all, chickens are to be fruitful. That's the purpose of a chicken, isn't it? You don't just raise chickens to have chickens. I mean, a chicken is to be fruitful. You know, I'll tell you what happened. We had chickens that did not lay eggs. We put them in dumplings the next Sunday. I mean, you know, there's a way to deal with chickens, too. In the book of Romans 7 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even him who is raised from the dead, that we might bring forth fruit unto God." I told you that chickens are to be fruitful, and they are. They are to bear eggs. That's the purpose. Did you know that the best egg-laying chicken breed is the white leghorn? And we raised a lot of them. That particular breed of chicken can lay up to 260 eggs in a year. That's a whole lot more than most of them. You've been hearing about the egg scare on television. And it's true. You've been hearing about bad eggs. You've been hearing about contaminated eggs. You've been reading about salmonella, and you know all about that and what it can do to your body. Some people can even die from bad eggs. Did you know the Bible says that we as God's people are to be bearing good fruit, not bad fruit? And in the book of Galatians 5 and verse 22 and 3, the Bible says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and longsuffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance, and against such there is no law." Some Christians bear more fruit than others. Some chickens will lay more eggs than others. But that's our role, isn't it? Isn't that why we were born, and that is to bear fruit for God? And some people never do. It's amazing how God can take the simple things like a chicken and bring to our mind great lessons of how we ought to live and how we ought to act. And how we should not act. I don't know about you this morning, but it probably would be a good question for each of us to ask ourselves this morning. What kind of fruit am I bearing? What kind of fruit am I bearing? Am I bearing the fruit of the Spirit? Is the world better because I live in this world and among others? And am I setting the right kind of example for others to follow? People will follow you, but are you setting the right kind of example for them to follow? Now, God calls you to be a Christian this morning. He calls upon you to be a child of God. To give up the ways of the world. Don't be like the chicken, but be a Christian. And this morning, maybe you've never done that. You've never come to acknowledge the fact that Jesus lived and walked among men, and that he is the Son of God, and that he will liberate and forgive you of all your sins if you, in an act of repentance, will acknowledge him to be the Christ, the Son of God, and then to be baptized in the name of his precious Son, to reach the blood that was shed for you 2,000 years ago. And you can do that this morning. And so this morning, if you're not a Christian, the appeal of God is for you to become a Christian. Start bearing fruit. He didn't just put you here to wander aimlessly in life, but you're here for a purpose. And I hope you understand your purpose this morning. And if you're a Christian, and perhaps you've been following the crowd, Perhaps you've been overly fearful about what's going on in the world. Perhaps you've been chasing after the shiny things and the things that are mundane and of little importance to this morning. Why won't you turn around and come back to Him? We're going to sing a song of invitation this morning that David has selected. Have you been to Jesus to have your sin forgiven? And that's the only way it's removed. And I hope this morning that you'll choose to allow Him to remove your sin stains by His precious blood while we stand and while we sing.